Good afternoon, everyone. Many individuals in this room right here have been baptized. Many have been baptized many years. There's others here in this room that will be baptized, may look to do that in some future time. But those of us who've been baptized, looking forward from that time, I think all of us could say that we have grown and matured as God's people. We've grown and matured to some degree. I think all of us could say that. Since our baptism, there has been a change that has been occurring in our minds. This process of this change of our minds will continue until Ephesians 4 and verse 13 is fulfilled. And you don't have to turn there. Very familiar scripture. It's until we all come to the unity of the faith, until we come to the unity of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, which means a spiritually mature man, to the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. We're going to continue to change until we get to that point. And I don't think there'll be anybody in this room saying that we are to that point as yet. This change will continue within our mind. Please turn to Romans chapter 12. Mr. Holman hit this scripture at the beginning of his message. And we're going to be focused on this verse throughout this message here in Romans 12. So if you'd like to mark this area, we're going to be coming back to Romans 12 and verse 2 many times throughout this message. So you might want to mark it. And here it talks about this mind being changed, being renewed. Let's read it here. Romans 12, beginning in verse 2. It says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that's good, prove what is acceptable, and prove what is the perfect will of God." Here we see that it is God's desire that our minds become transformed from something in the past to something different in the future. There's going to be a renewing of the mind, something that will change within your mind. Today I would like to focus our attention on this change that occurs within our minds. This renewing of our mind is a wonderful miracle that once we understand the process, and once we understand and see it occurring in our life, we will really learn to appreciate it and be thankful for it. If you would like a title for this message, the title is Being Transformed by the Renewing of Our Mind. Being Transformed by the Renewing of Our Mind. Let's begin by going to Ephesians chapter 4. I want to turn to about three scriptures, one right after the other here, that describes this change that must take place within our minds, within the way of life that we live. And we can see from different angles this being talked about here. Let's go to Ephesians 4, and we're going to break into the thought here and begin in verse 20. Ephesians 4, beginning in verse 20. It says, "But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, and the truth is in Jesus." So, just as I said earlier, from our baptism, something very special occurred. God began to work with you. He began to teach you, and you began to hear Him and understand what He had to say. Verse 22, "that you put off concerning your former conduct," that former conduct before our baptism, "the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind." So here, this scripture talks again about this renewing of your mind. Verse 24, "and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in righteousness and true holiness. And we're going to come from the old man, the old way of thinking, our old motives, our old purpose in our life that we had before baptism, and all of that's going to change. Something new is going to begin to happen within our thinking, within our motives, within our purpose of life, and we will begin to be doing something different. There's a change, a renewing that takes place. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3, which is the second scripture I'd like to go to that describes this change that's going to take place in our life and in our thinking, in our minds. Colossians chapter 3, and I'd like to begin reading here in verse 6. It says, "Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience." And we know, as being Bible students, sons of disobedience are sons of Satan, or sons in the world, sons that are going opposite of the way of God. Here, coming upon the sons of disobedience. Verse 7, "In which you also once walked," or we all once lived that way of life, "when you lived in them, but now," a change has to take place, "but now you must also put off all of these," the change that begins to happen within our minds. No longer anger should be there. No more wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. "Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him." So once again, another scripture that describes this change that must take place within our minds, and then it would go on into our actions. Let's go on to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Another scripture here describing these things, that this change that must occur from where we were to where we need to end up. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and we're going to begin reading here in verse 15. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 15. It says, "But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart." And it's talking about that veil that is over their heart that they can't understand. Before your baptism, all of us were there in some degree. Maybe a second and third generation or fourth generation people that are sitting here may be a little different. But this veil that was over their heart, it says. And when the Bible talks about this heart, it's not talking about the organ that pumps the blood within our body. It's talking about that mind that's within us, that where motives are, where the emotions are embedded, where choices are made. He says here that when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart or on their mind, where they're blinded. Verse 16, "Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away." So something very special happens at our baptism and our calling when that veil is removed. It goes on to say, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty," or there's freedom. "But we all," that's all of us, "we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." So once again, we see another scripture of this change that must take place before our baptism or at our baptism to when Jesus Christ returns, or at the end of this process. So with this in mind, let's go back now to Romans chapter 12. And I want to begin to dissect this verse, and we'll be coming and going from this verse for the remaining remainder of this message. Let's read Romans 12, verse 2, once again, and I want to focus here on the middle of this verse to begin with. It says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but," here's what I want to focus in on right now, "be transformed by the renewing of your mind." This word transformed here means, if you look it up into a Greek dictionary, it means a change of condition. It's not only a slight change, it is a radical change that's going to take place. And he's saying here that this radical change is going to take place with an analogy. You could think of it as a caterpillar to a butterfly. The same as the old man to the new man. That's how radical of a change it is, going from the old man to the new man. It's a caterpillar to a butterfly. And he's saying here that in our process, we're going to be transformed. There's going to be a radical change occurring within you. And it went on to say, by the renewing of your mind. This word renewing here means a renovation, which makes a person different than in the past. I think when we hear the word renovation, I know with me being in the building process, I look at it as a house being renovated, or a room within a house being renovated or remodeled. It's old. It's ugly. Maybe it's smelly. Maybe it's dirty. You don't like it. You want it remodeled. You want it renovated. There's going to be a change take place, and that new change will not resemble the past look. So you begin to put new drywall, new paint, new carpet, new curtains, new look. It becomes beautiful. You love it. A huge change from where it began to the end. And this word renewing here is this renovation regarding a person, is you're not going to be the same person that you used to be. You're going to be thinking differently. You're going to be acting differently. Your motives will be different. Your purpose in your life will be different. After this change begins to occur, brethren, we begin to look at things differently. Our understanding of God's truth begins to increase. He begins to teach us. We begin to hear and to understand. Our will begins to surrender to God's way of life. We begin the process of submitting to Him and allowing Him to teach us, to mold us, to shape us, to direct us that we can look like the new man. He's renovating us. He's changing the way we think. He's developing something very, very special that He wants us to look like. In His eyes, we will be beautiful like a beautiful butterfly. We won't look like the old caterpillar. We won't look like the old man at the end of this process. As this renewing of the mind takes place, we begin to look different. We begin to act different and react different. Old things pass away. You might think back to some of the things that were very important to you when you were called and when you were baptized. And then after the truth and after teaching from God, what things are very important to you? Old things pass away. We begin living by new principles and new rules. We begin to live by God's word and God's instructions and God's laws. We begin to have a new purpose in life. A change takes place where we're no longer that ugly old caterpillar, that ugly old man that we all once were. We're to take on a new image. We're to begin to reflect God. We're to begin to reflect God's way of life. With this in mind, let's go to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. And we're going to see here that God does work with us, and He tells us something very important that helps us in this renewing of the mind. Proverbs chapter 4, beginning in verse 20. It says here, "My son." This is God talking to His children. At least that's the way I want to take it here today. This is God talking to you and talking to me. He says, "My son, give attention to My words. Incline your ear to My sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart." Once again, this isn't talking about the organ that is pumping blood. He's wanting us to keep these instructions and these words in our minds. It's part of what makes our motive, our purpose in life, the decisions that we choose to live. "For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart," or keep your mind, "with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life." Or out of it springs the issues of a beautiful new butterfly. Or of that new man that God is developing in you. Being a part of that future family that God is developing, that He's invited all of us to be a part of. This mind is the ruling part of our body. Our mind decides how we will look, how we will act, the attitudes that we will have, how we will react to someone maybe who isn't treating us properly. When the renewing of the mind takes place, eventually the renewing of the whole body begins to change. But as all of you know, and I can remember Mr. Armstrong saying in his 92nd year, he's still learning. He's still growing. He was still maturing. I think we could talk to Mr. Pennelly or Mr. Meeker, and they're probably still growing and they're still maturing. We won't reach that new man until God is ready for it to be at Jesus Christ's return. Our actions change to reflect God's way of life. We begin to reflect God in our mannerisms. Let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 11. The next scripture that would describe this renewing of the mind. It talks about here in Ezekiel 11, in the future, in the millennium, when God takes physical Israel and gives them a new heart and a new mind and begins to teach them and gives them their spirit, and He begins to teach them His way of life. Brethren, He's doing that to us now. What He's going to do to them then, which this describes, He's doing this to us right now. Let's read this, beginning in verse 19. Ezekiel 11, beginning in verse 19. It says, "Then I will give them one heart," or one mind, "and I will put a new spirit within them and take the stony heart," or that stony mind, "out of their flesh." Brethren, that old corrupted mind that we had with the old man before baptism, God's removed that. We're being told to reject it, to avoid it, to not want it again. We don't want that thinking any longer. And He goes on to say, and He's going to give them a new heart of flesh, "that they may be able to walk in My statutes and keep My judgments and do them. And they shall be My people, and I will be their God." God's doing the same thing with us. He's removed the stony mind that was a part of us before baptism. He's removed that veil that was hiding our minds and our eyesight to his truth, and he's began to teach us. And brethren, you look different. You think different. I look different. And I think different. We're continuing to change. We're continuing to be molded and shaped like a hunk of clay with a potter in his fingers moving us all around. Such a precious truth for us to be able to understand here. God is renewing our mind. He is allowing us the blessing to live and be instructed by Him. An awesome blessing. With this in mind, let me ask a question. What is the enemy of this process? What is the enemy of this process? What's the enemy of the renewing of the mind, or this transformation that needs to take place? Because we are held responsible to strive to make the choice to avoid it and to reject it with all of our ability. Well, let's go back to Romans chapter 12. Because once again in the scripture, it tells us what the enemy is. The enemy that we must avoid. And it's at the beginning of the verse this time. Romans 12, beginning in verse 2. It says, "Do not be conformed to this world." That's where the old man resides. That's where all of us were very familiar with at one time in our life. And we're told, don't go back. Don't turn back to that. He says, "Do not be conformed to this world." This word conformed here means to be fashioned alike, to look like that, look the same as that, or conform to the same pattern. God is telling us here, do not be conformed to the world. Brethren, the world is the enemy to this process that we have all entered into with God. If we are close to the world, this change is not going to come like it should. It's the reason why he says here to not do it. Satan is the god of this world, and he would love for us to go back. We are exhorted here to avoid and to reject the ways of this world. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to see here in 1 Peter and see a few scriptures where it talks about this world. First Peter chapter 1, and we're going to begin reading here in verse 13. It says, "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind," or in other words, prepare your minds for action. "Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance." So this verse clearly shows what we are to strive to do. And it's a fight. Every day of our life, we trip up at times. We must repent. We must change. We must learn to submit. But as obedient children, it says, not conforming yourselves to your former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. See, it's not only what's in the mind, but once our minds begin to be renewed, it will show in our actions. It will show in our conduct as well. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll read once again here about this world that we are not to be conformed to. It talks about it here. Ephesians 2, beginning in verse 1. It says, "And you He made alive." And brethren, He made all of us alive when He called us. He began to work with us. He began to teach us on this path and this process that we're talking about today. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. All of us were back with that old man, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh. And take note of this next statement. And of the mind. See, our mind was corrupted back then as well. That mind needed to be transformed and renewed. It goes on to say, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others, with a veil over our eyes where we could not see and understand. Then let's go down to verse 10. It says, for we, those being truly converted and baptized and called, says, for we are his workmanship, God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. This process is going to develop good conduct and good works as well as our minds begin to be renewed. We will begin to reflect God. We will begin to look and do things as he would do them. Obviously, we trip up. And never forget that. We're going to trip up. We're going to make mistakes. We'll have to repent and strive to do better. We will have good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We see our enemy is this world. Our enemy is Satan the devil, who is the god of this world. We are being told here to reject that way of life. We've been there, done that, like some people say. We don't want to go back. We can't go back. Okay, let me ask another question. What happens to us when this renewing of the mind takes place? How can we know that this renewing of the mind is taking place within us? Let's go back to Romans chapter 12. What effects are we going to see as this process is taking place? What can we visually see in our own life that can determine whether this renewing process is happening? Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 describes this at the end of the verse. But let's go ahead and read the verse again and then we'll get into it. It says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is that's good. You will prove what is acceptable, and you will be able to prove what is the perfect will of God. In this process, we will learn what good is. We will learn what bad is. We're going to be able to discern between the good and the bad, the acceptable and the unacceptable. We will be able to discern what God's will is and what God's will is not. We begin to understand more and more as this process continues. We begin to understand what our responsibility is within the process. And I think all of us, one day at a time, is learning our responsibility and striving to submit to God molding and shaping and renewing our minds. We begin to see what is good, we begin to see what is acceptable, and we begin to see what God's will is. Let's go back to Micah chapter 6. Micah chapter 6, and I just want to read one verse here, because there's one being that teaches us what is good. And he uses his instruments to teach us as well. Micah 6, beginning in verse 8, or only verse 8 here. It says, He has shown you, O man, what is good. The great God is the one that shows us what is good. We're here to understand. We're here to learn. And what does the Eternal require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? But I was wanting to focus there on the beginning of this verse. It is the great God that shows us what is good and what is bad. And in this renewing of the mind, we will be able to prove what is good and what is bad. We begin to think like God. We begin to have the mind that God has and what He is developing in us. This new man, this new way of thinking, this beautiful new butterfly. We begin to look different. Radical change occurs within us. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Once again here, we're going to learn how we learn and be able to prove what is good, acceptable, and what God's will is. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 16. It says, All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. This Bible that we have on your laps and what I have before me is full of God's instructions to us. All of this Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. It's profitable for reproof. It's profitable for correction. It's profitable for instruction in righteousness. Why? Let's read verse 17. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. As this renewing process takes place within our mind, we will be able to prove what's good, what's acceptable, and we're going to be able to prove what God's will is and striving to submit our life to that. Let's go over to Philippians chapter 1. Once again, showing us how we can prove what's good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. Philippians 1, beginning in verse 9. Philippians 1, beginning in verse 9. It says, And this I pray, that your love may abound, or it may multiply, or increase, still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. In this renewing of the mind, we will be able to discern. He gives us discernment that we prove what's good and what's bad, what's acceptable, what's unacceptable, and so forth. Verse 10, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and the praise of God. We begin to see God's will more clearly as this process of renewing of the mind takes place. The more we look like the new man, the more we look like that beautiful butterfly, the more we understand the good from the bad, the acceptable from the unacceptable. God's will versus not God's will. So with this in mind, let's go back to Romans 12 one last time. And I would like to look at the context in which this verse 2 is written. And I want to do that by beginning with verse 1. Because we're going to see here, Paul wasn't just teaching in a normal tone. He beseeched the brethren at that time. He was urging them and exhorting them. He had emotion behind these instructions. He saw the importance of it. Here in verse 1, he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, or I exhort you, or I urge you. He has this extra oomph behind these instructions, that this is important, guys. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. A responsibility that we must strive to do for this process to take place. Submitting ourselves. Christ paid for every single one of us with his own blood. We gave up that old man. We gave him up. And we're submitting our life to God now. That's our reasonable service. And it goes on to say then in verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world. Brethren, it's poison, he's saying. It will kill you to go back to that enemy. The world is our enemy. It will destroy the process of our being transformed and the renewing of our mind. And it goes on to say, but be transformed. Have this radical change take place in your life. And it's going to be done by the renewing of your mind. God says, I'm going to remodel your mind. I'm going to renovate your mind. You're going to think different. You're not going to think like the old man. You're going to begin to think like the new man. You're not going to look like that old caterpillar. You're going to start thinking and looking like a beautiful butterfly. I'm renovating you. I'm transforming you. And it goes on to say that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. This process demands of us to surrender ourselves to God in whatever manner we possibly can do. That's our responsibility. God is expecting us to present our life to Him as a living sacrifice. We must submit to God in order for this renewing of the mind to take place. Let's summarize then what we had to hear today. It says, being transformed by the renewing of our mind, we begin to change. We begin to live differently than what we did before. We no longer look like the old man. We don't walk like the old man. We don't think like the old man. We don't want anything to do with that old man. That old caterpillar's gone because it's now a beautiful butterfly. We are striving to look like the new man, the beautiful butterfly. We want nothing to do with that old man. The change in our mind will bring new habits. It's going to bring new actions, new purpose in our life, new motives, a new way of describing love in your life. You begin to serve each other instead of you being selfish and wanting everybody to serve you. This renewing of our minds implies a radical and a thorough change. And I don't think God is going to leave any stone unturned. That old man is going to die. It's gone. The way you think. It's not going to be there in our future. It's going to be the new man. It's going to be a beautiful butterfly. When the process of renewing our mind is being accomplished, we will begin to also see the outward changes that will be occurring in the way we live our life, in our actions, in our reactions, in our motives. You know what goes on in your mind, and I know what goes on in my mind. I know where I'm weak, and I'm sure you guys know where you're weak. I know what things I need to repent of, at least what God has showed me. There's still change that needs to take place. The beautiful butterfly isn't as beautiful as it will be in the future. In Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, God is desiring to develop His character in us. He desires that. It's what He's doing. He is renewing our mind so that we begin to reflect Him. We begin to reflect His thoughts, His actions, His reactions. We begin to reflect Him instead of reflecting Satan and the ways of that world. God is beseeching us to make the choice to surrender ourselves to Him so that He is allowed to develop the process of being transformed by the renewing of our mind.